Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
G'day guys, welcome back to Beers and Breakevens, brought to you by Blue Wealth Property. Reach out to Tony and the team. He'll be featuring on tomorrow's show with us to talk a little bit Canterbury Bulldogs. Also brought to you by Bloke in a Bar. Go out and grab a case of Kempe's Drop this weekend. Supercoach done and dusted, NRL finals heading our way. Cannot wait. Joined once again by my student, co-host, student, Padawan, Timmy Williams. What's doing?
How long have you been working on that intro, mate? How many months?
Mate, if anyone was next to me in the car today on the way in, they would have thought I was on a very intense phone call because there was a lot of talking to myself going on. Mate, Supercoach season done and dusted. We'll talk about how we went between us soon, but pretty good seasons for both of us. Top 1,000 finish.
Was, mate, yeah. Yep, kept a nice little 1% streak going alive. So, yeah, respectable enough. Finished up there in 560th overall. Finished on a good note with 1346. So, really happy with that. And, you know, it was placed about, I was about 109th about 5-6 weeks ago and really felt like I was well placed to sort of make a big finish. Didn't quite eventuate that way. Couple of wrong decisions, couple of injuries and things didn't go my way. But that's all part of the game. So, mate, I'm not going to be upset about 560th overall, so it was a good season.
Now, I guess as Supercoach players, we're trying to improve each and every year, and this is where I've got my worries about you. You finished two a couple of years ago, and you just seem to be on the downward fucking slide. Just can't seem to improve off the back of that. Me, on the other hand, stocks are fucking rising through the roof. 310 this year, slightly better than I think my second best, which would have been about 10,000 over the last 5 or 6 years. So very happy with that. Now, we came down to last week. There was 175 points between us. And I've got to be honest with you, I was very fucking nervous. Very, very nervous. Run us through the weekend, how it all sort of played out.
It was. So it was, you had me by 175 points leading into the weekend. I was thinking, oh, it was achievable, but a lot of work to do.
And I said, in saying that, you beat me by 230 the week before, so yeah, it was possible, yeah.
And I'd had a pretty good weekend. A lot of things had gone well. I knew you had a few different things go against you. You're a Cam Murray owner, yeah.
Cam
Murray was the big one. So yeah, when that happened, I was like, oh, I'm a sniff here. Going into Sunday morning, it was something like you had six players, including Nico captain, and I had three left who you owned all of them. So you had three players to get, it was about 100 to 120 points. So I was like, likely, but two of those players were Jesse Ramian and Lockie Miller, who was like, you know, they can go sub 30 on their day.
They did last week, so.
I was like, outside, but I was a chance. And I was driving back from Coomer actually that day, and I was sort of trying to get updates on my phone and listen to a little bit on radio, and different sorts of things. And when Jesse Raymond scored, I was okay with it because him scoring was my lock of the week on the halfback podcast. I'm like, all right, I can cop that. It was also off an intercept, so I don't think he got a line break for it. So I'm like, you know, he's 17. I'll get my lock of the week. Boom. Anyway, I checked it about the 78th minute, saw the score, and I was like, you know, I'm an outside chance here that they haven't gone that well. I pulled up about half an hour later, checked the score again, and Lockie Miller had scored with a line break in the 79th minute, and my heart just sunk. Went, I knew that was me done.
And, mate, the night before, I think it was Tom Gilbert made a cracking chase on Scotty Drinkwater. Was it Gilbert?
No, no.
Who?
Eddie Blacker, that's it, yes.
Oh, sorry, what am I talking about? Yeah, you're close. 15 for Penrith, wrong team. Supercoach expert here, by the way. Yeah, and I was cheering him on. Good God.
Yeah, so I brought in, obviously, Drinky this week as my final trade, and that was another dagger. So we had the little $200 side bet. I think you gave me a 125.
Yeah, points. It was a mountain of points. Fucking did you a favour. Good God.
Yeah,
well, absolute mountain of points. I couldn't have been any more generous.
Mate,
we're running a fucking charity over here. You still couldn't catch me.
I gave you a 50-point start in a head-to-head bet, so that's rich. But even in that, so Drinky, I brought Drinky in, skippered him, and then the Supercoach score is up to their old tricks and had him on 90-odd, and then they did updates and he got the try assist, it came off Val, so he went up to about 115, 120, and that changed everything. I was sort of thinking again, oh, looking all right here. And then they ripped that back off him just as a final little knife in the back to my season. Took that off him, so you won our head-to-head bet on that as well, because that 50-point gap became 30. So that cost me a cheeky 200.
Yeah, I got to transfer that money to the scorers as well. Took care of me there. Now, let's have a look. Now, obviously, at the start of the season, we put up $2,000 cash prize, free entry into the Beers and Break-Evens group. And obviously, Matthew, the vacant block, he won overall Supercoach, taking home 50K. But in second place overall and first in our comp was Glenn the Dark Knight, who takes home $5,000 from Supercoach, but also takes home $2,000 from us. So he comes home with a $7,000 prize pool. Glenn, so congratulations, mate. Reach out to us on your social medias. We'll get your bank details, flick it over there. Now, did you say that you think he's from Newcastle? Is that just because of his name?
No. I reckon he'd be a Knights supporter. I have a feeling he said he was Western New South Wales, around the Bathurst and Orange Territory, which very lovely part of the world. So if it's going out to a nice country bloke like Glenn, I'm more than happy to hand it over.
And Glenn, if you are ever in Sydney, Big Smoke, come find us, yeah? Take him out for a night.
Yeah,
might even have him on here. But congratulations, Glenn. Unreal stuff.
hey, he didn't finish that far off.
Mate, I was just about to say, he finished.
Yeah.
Jesus, impressive season by the bloke that finished first.
Yeah, dominant, hey?
Very, very dominant. So, yeah, congratulations to Glenn. $2,000 from us. We'll be looking into next season how much of a prize pool we'll be putting up. I think we can probably up it a little bit next year, make it a little bit more interesting.
Well, mate, you're on a seven-figure salary, so it'll be whatever you're willing to put up for us.
Eight, but that's fine. but we will be looking to have an even bigger prize pool for next year, so stay tuned for that. All right, let's get into our best and worst moves for season 2022. For me, I look back at my best moves. Probably I was one of the first to bring in Scotty Drinkwater. It was a bit of a pod move at the start. He turned out to be pretty solid throughout the season, but my big move on Drinky was that I captained him in round 13, the bye week. I think he went 120-odd there, so that really helped me. I got on Joey Tappanay, and I have to give a shout-out to one of your contributors, Stevie Hebner, who tipped me on to Joey Tappanay, who I sort of said to him, I don't know about minutes with Ricky Stewart, and Steve sort of said, oh, I've got a feeling he'll start to play good minutes. And from that week on, he turned into the fucking Terminator, so that was fantastic for me. Siva Talakai was the other one. I got on him on the exact right time, and I probably sold him a little bit too late, but I think you had to be on him for that month or so where he exploded, and thankfully I was. What do you look back as your best moves for this year?
You right there, mate?
Almost died. Wouldn't that have been a good little outcome for you?
Yeah.
Good God. Go. So,
would have saved me $200. Sifu was one for sure, in the sense that most people were stung by him in some way or another. Some were really hurt by him. I'll say, I think I got him the week he got his 150-odd, which was handy. My Eels boys, I did quite well around. I started with Dylan Brown. He was rock solid before. I traded him out round 8 at a tick under 700 grand. So, again, like, I mean, in hindsight, could have held him all season, but he did a really good job for me, made me plenty of money, scored well. But I traded Mitchie Moses in round 5 and got quite good value and points out of him at the time. And then Sean Lane was the other one that I got on, and you sort of were sitting there thinking, oh, maybe if you can pot around and knock out 65 to 70, I think he was a buy round player. He was just immense the whole back end of the year. So, Sean and Vane, the Eels boys, big time. They're probably the ones that I really look at in terms of my better trade in targets. And then I got my cheapies right very well all year. So, stood me in good stead team value wise, but there weren't too many that I missed out on in those, so that helped out.
I think my other one that I was really happy with was my little Reece Walsh debacle during the year.
Yeah.
Turned out all right for me. I had him for 4 weeks, 56, 52, 69, 75.
Solid.
So we'll take that as a bit of a pod play. Now let's get to our worst plays. And I think my worst one by far and away was anti-podding Latrell Mitchell. I think he'll be up there with yours. I can think of probably one for you that might have hurt you more. But Latrell Mitchell, he really stung us this year. To be honest with you, mate, I'm incredibly impressed we got as high as we did without Latrell. Because, mate, the scores he put up in the back end of the season, we spoke about it last week, were just unbelievable. And I didn't think he'd be able to do it that consistently. It was incredible, and it really has burnt me this year. What are your thoughts? Who do you have as your worst one?
It was a tough watch, wasn't it, Latrell? It was, I mean, a lesson I certainly learned in Supercoach this year was I'm quite heavy on looking at fixtures for, and obviously speak of them quite often, around more so attacking players rather than forwards who are a bit, you know, can score well against anyone. But Latrell, with that Bunnies run upcoming for the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, I thought, oh, this is a bloke who historically has only been a good Supercoach player. He's never really been a star. I know he took over the goal kicking this year, which helped, but the lesson I learned was that the best of the best in Supercoach and in the NRL are pretty well fixture-proof. And Latrell proved that yes, the Bunnies won games and there were some, a few lower scores here and there, but Latrell was just fixture-proof. So damn good. So Latrell hurt me, and that ties into the now folklore in Supercoach and SC playbook, beers and breakers, whatever you call it, the infamous Caelan Ponga trading. I was so excited about it. Brought him in at under 500K. He'd just come off that Game 3 Origin Masterclass. He had a three-round average of something quite healthy and was just looking. We all know how good he looked in Origin 3. The Knights had a soft draw. Two really soft games coming up at the time. Might have been the Bulldogs and Tigers or Titans and Tigers or something. Brought him in as a pod play instead of Latrell. It was like Latrell was only a couple of games back as well. And Ponga obviously got HIA'd or knocked out 10 minutes into the game and didn't feature again. So that one, and then because he went on to, it was probably stayed steady cash, but Latrell went big again. His price sort of got out of hand and I just couldn't quite get him in. He was so heavily owned 2 weeks later, Latrell, that it was like, look, if I'm realistic about making up any ground, going for Latrell at 90% with that run just didn't make sense. So, yeah, largely all around the fullbacks. And then you can tie into another few there, of course. You're never going to get every trade right, but I shudder every time I hear the name Grant Anderson. I think banked his sort of 15 points in was it the second major bye week there. A couple of others. Timari Martin, he'd never been too bad. So I think the only week I played him was maybe the first major bye week. And I think he actually scored all right in that one, but didn't make a lot of cash there. Going a little bit too late on Nicho Hynes. I bit the bullet by about round 8 or 9, just before I think he had his biggest score of the year. So not horrible, but underestimated him a little bit. So they're probably the major ones for me.
I think, mate, as far as this show goes and our rivalry, the Caelan Ponga one was huge, because I remember walking down to the cafe here the day that you said you were going to do it, and I said to you, I've got a big pod play I'm going for. I'm not going to pull the trigger this week, but I'm going to pull the trigger this week. And you interrupted me and said, I bet I've got a bigger one. I'm going KP. And I went, fuck, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. And thank God you went the week early, because that would have changed fucking everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything, that KP moment.
And then the other two that were killing me for a while there, and it's funny how quickly Supercoach can change, but one that I definitely didn't get right, but I thought it was going to cost me anything decent in Supercoach this season, was Joey Manu. Again, another infamous, Manu to To'o for that second major bye week, which To'o didn't actually play, but it looked a good trade. He turned up. Manu went on. That was when I hit my peak. He hit about 107th overall. The following week, I didn't own Manu for the Dragons game. He got 190. Lots of people skipped or looped, and that one killed me. His next 4 or 5 weeks went nuts. Manu went on, and I was basing everything off just the fact he's playing centre. Again, the Roosters, some tough games. If he stays at centre, I'm okay with it. He ended up with a 5-round average to finish the season of 50-odd. Mm. Joey Tapps, who again was killing me for ages, he ended up with a roughly a 5-round average of about 50 as well. So ended up not being too bad there, but it was the year of Latrell and not owning or not owning him.
Yeah, and I remember I obviously captained Joey Manu that afternoon, and I remember sitting there that afternoon thinking, he can't catch me now. Tim will not be able to catch me. And then, of course, we had the infamous the night we were on the beers here with Maddie, who's behind the mic down there, when I captained Nathan Cleary, and he got sent off in that one. So that's sort of – that brought us a little bit closer again. Helped. But, mate, I mean, just being two content creators sitting here next to each other, we couldn't have asked for a better season as far as our rivalry goes. It was
great, mate.
Tight the entire way.
It was great. And it was all plenty of fun and something to write home, a little bit of a rivalry. I'm so overall based that I don't really look into rivalries with mates or head-to-head leagues too often. And look, I'd be happy to sit here and go at you and tell you that I taught you everything you know in the space of the last 6 to 8 months, but I know that's playing into exactly that you want. It's just going to fuel the fire. So, mate, I'm happy to sit back and say you were too good this season and no, well-deserved.
Now, as you said all year, the cream always rises to the top. Quote, unquote. Yeah, but it builds for something pretty special next year, just quietly. Mm. I'm looking forward to it. We'll try and go back to back.
See if you're a one-hit wonder or what.
Mate, I've got one-hit wonder written on my fucking forehead. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Now, mate, Boost. We assume they'll come back next year. Might not. We had 5 this year. A lot of conversation around how to use them this season. I actually only used 4 of them. I finished the season with 1 boost up my sleeve still. I think that a lot of people have got the idea to use them early next year. They are a little bit overrated. I agree to some extent. But I think it's, as we said off mic before, and you'll talk more about, I think it's very dependent on the season. I feel like over the next 3 years, there could be 3 different correct strategies how to use your boost. It's going to be interesting how it plays out. What are you thinking as far as, if we are given 5 boosts again next year, what's going to be your basic sort of strategy?
Yeah, first look at the boost this season were, I think they were a great introduction just because they, just another factor, another few big decisions that had to be made throughout the season, but pretty overrated, essentially. Very handy at times, but different for the circumstances of every single team. If you start the year, I've seen like people reflecting saying, oh, you need to use them early on and fix mistakes with your team. Some people start the year and they get their team right and they don't need to make 3 trades a week early on and they're happy using the 2 and saving them up for later on, in which case you don't need to use your boost early. On the flip side, you might get your starting side horribly wrong. Cheapies might be all over the shop. You might have brought a few guns in that have flopped or got injured, whatever. Those sides, absolutely go and use your boost early on and fix the mistakes you've made. And again, that changes year to year. That changes team to team. So it's very circumstantial. I was happy with my strategy around the boost this year and I can't see it changing next year, and that is, provided nothing goes too nasty early on in the season, it's using them around the bye period. And this is obviously overall speaking. I think probably head-to-head, you can maybe look to use them earlier on because you're trying to get your best 17 as quick as you can. But overall, I just think using them... Well, next season we think there won't be rep round and we think there'll be 3 major bye weeks, which is chaos. We just need more to consider in Supercoach daily.
Along with the buys every week.
Yeah, so I think that will probably bring boost more into it. Yep. And I'll be looking to use mine the week before all 3 of those, and alternatively on the week after it. I think the week after what will be the 3rd major buy round is a really key one, because that's where you go, overall players are so different. We try to get our best 17 as possible the week after that 3rd major buy round finishes. So it'll be targeting and saving a boost for that week. I did it this season and I'm very happy with that. So again, I'll be putting them all around the buy period, all going to plan.
Now, mate, I was listening to the Supercoach playbook a few weeks ago, and something that's really caught my interest, you guys talked about, and I think it could be perfect next year. If you're in a head-to-head comp with just your mates and that's all you care about, not picking a team for the first week.
Oh.
Starting in the 2nd week and using your boost to sort of wrangle in those points. Mate, I think if you're in a head-to-head comp, it could be the way to go. I really do. You get to sit back and watch everyone for the first week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
In terms of...
Like, so, if you only care about the comp that you're just in with your direct mates, your cash comp, if you don't care about overall, mate, I reckon it could be the play you get, just because you're going to have, obviously, the Dolphins coming in. It's going to, like, stretch a little bit of depth across the competition. Mm. I also think week one, if there's any week to miss, it's that one, because every team comes in with fucking defense. Mm. There's normally not many huge blowouts in that week. I don't mind the strategy. It's a gamble. But I don't mind it, to see where all the cheapies are. And then if you have got these five boosts and you use them efficiently, like, I reckon you can wrangle in 1,200 points across 25 weeks.
And that's it. And why, you know, you don't have to make moves early on in the season. So it's there's plenty of logic to the move. It's there's risk involved, but it's a fun one for anyone ballsy enough to have.
Mate, I reckon it'd be super exciting. All right, like, during the week you'd make your team, and then just before kickoff, knock them all out, cause chaos in the group chat. I reckon it'd be good fun chasing as well.
I tell you, I won't be one of them, but there'll be a few girlfriends and wives teams having a crack.
No doubt whatsoever. Yeah, which I back 100%. Guys, that will do us for our review of our teams for this year. Now, over the next 4 weeks, starting tomorrow, we will be going through every single team from the 2022 season and reviewing their Supercoach season and having a look at 2023, the guys that we will have our eyes on at the start of next season for a vast array of reasons. We'll also be having a look at the Dolphins. Now, we'll talk about them on tomorrow's show. Not a heap of guys probably in their starting teams, but I've got a couple of cheapies for you that I think are worth keeping an eye on. So we will have tomorrow, we'll be doing the bottom four teams and the Dolphins, so five teams to cover there. And then every Monday after that, the next three Mondays on the trot, probably Monday afternoon, we'll be dropping on YouTube and on the podcast a review of the remaining 12 teams. So we'll go the bottom four, the next four, then the bottom four of the top eight, and then the top four to finish. So we will be recording all of those on one day. So fingers crossed, not too much changes over the next few weeks. It's rugby league, so surely nothing will change, right?
What could possibly backfire?
What could possibly fucking happen? I'm sure it'll be fine. It takes me back, what was it, 10 odd weeks ago when we did an entire show on Ryan Pappenhausen. We jumped off and then he got fucking COVID.
Oh.
That was one of the great kicks in the dick of all time. I'd made about four bits of content. Great. I think it happened with Nico Hines too, just quietly throughout the season. Unreal stuff. But thanks for joining us once again, guys. We have all those reviews coming tomorrow and over the next few weeks. Reach out to Tony and the team at Blue Wealth Property if you're keen to get involved, and go and grab yourself a case of Bloke in a Bar this weekend. The best drop in the country and in sport. Cheers, legends.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.